Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're taking a look today at the life of St. Paul. Today, the church celebrates the life of St. Paul, and the first reading at Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. And if you didn't have a chance to tune in yesterday's program, I decided to start with yesterday because I want to read different accounts of Paul's conversion. We looked at yesterday the account from Acts chapter 9. If you didn't have a chance to listen to the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can access it there. Best thing to do, and I like to repeat this every week, is just download the Renewal Ministries app. You'll have direct access anytime you want to the YouTube. So we do the television programs, the radio programs. Sister Ann Shields is a wonderful food for the journey, and everything that we're really producing from the ministry. And it's also a simple way to just be able to pass it on to others. And if you've been blessed by Sister Ann's program, this program, our YouTubes, the different things that we're producing, help us get the word out. Let's just keep spreading. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, if you feel like, yeah, this is really good stuff, and people need to hear this at different times, help us get the word out. That's a way of engaging the evangelization, the evangelistic mission of the King, and to join St. Paul, you know, the great evangelist along the way. So I ended yesterday's program working through Acts chapter 9, which is a description of, beautiful description of Paul's conversion, and then encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then I remember back, this is just a little anecdote, I was in the seminary years ago, in the major seminary, and studying with a really great biblical scholar at the time. And one of the things he had us do, besides all the deep looking at what's all behind the scriptures and the historical critical methods and all that sort of thing, was he said, first I want you to do is just simply read the words. Yeah, read the words as they are. And he said, so many of these stories you've kind of heard before, and it's easy to just skim over, and it's important to read every word. And then when we'd have a reading assignment at the beginning of class, we would have a simple 10-point true-false statements. So one of the statements I remember said that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, a light shone from heaven and he fell off his horse and, you know, God spoke to him, true or false? And of course, pretty much everybody said true, but it was false because there's no mention of a horse. Now, it's likely he was on a horse, but there's no mention of a horse. So don't put something, he used it as an example, don't put something in there that's not there, he said. But anyway, a little tidbit from the past, long time ago. So Jesus then speaks to Ananias, a disciple in Damascus, and he tells him to go and to find Paul in a home of Judas on Straight Street. And of course, Ananias is like, Lord, are you sure you got the right guy? Knowing the kind of intense way, the zealous way that Saul went after the new believers in Jerusalem and persecuted them and threw them in jail. And he was really a pain, but he was so zealous for the house of God. And the Lord loved that, even though it was unlightened zeal. He didn't love the fact that he was persecuting, but he saw something in Saul. He knew his frame, so to speak. He knew also that the zeal that he had for the house of God and his fearlessness. And he had almost, I don't know if he had an ounce of fear of men in him. And so I'm sure he had some, but the Lord knew. And he goes on to tell Ananias, don't worry, he's my chosen instrument. And from the time that Saul had seen Jesus in a light, he was blinded for 3 days, but the Lord gave him back his sight when Ananias came to him. It was beautiful. Ananias, who received in a vision, he had a vision of the Lord. These kind of things were very common in the life of the church, and they're meant to be today as well. I mean, they're not like every single day common, but it happens, and God communicates to his people. Why? Because we're one body with him. We share the Spirit we were sharing yesterday. We're born again by water and the Spirit, and as St. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, the church was born on that day, and it's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel saying, in the last days, we're living in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions, things like that. And so this is what happened to Ananias. I think it's really useful, friends, for us to pray, especially in difficult times like the ones we're living in, to say, Lord, we welcome all the spiritual gifts that you give to your body. We welcome any way you want to speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts in dreams and visions and signs and wonders and prophecy, whatever you like, Lord. We just want to know what you want us to do. and to help us. And so we're not seeking gifts for their own sake. We're seeking gifts to be more fully equipped and united, docile, obedient to the Lord, to be moving in His grace. So Ananias faithfully goes and he lays hands on Saul and he calls Saul his brother. Saul, my brother. How about that? Up to that point, Ananias had a very clear understanding of just how dangerous a man Saul was and how many of maybe acquaintances of Ananias that he had persecuted. But in obedience to the Lord, he had an eternal perspective. He understood Paul's blindness, and he forgave him, and he reached out and called him his brother, and he prayed over him, and scales fell from his eyes, and it says, he prayed that he may regain his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? He prayed that, because the Lord led him to pray in this way, not only that Paul could see again, but that Paul, even though he was a religious Jew, what did he need? He needed the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, friends, there's the assumption that the Holy Spirit's already in everybody, given to everybody, and already leading everybody on their own path up the mountain to heaven, to salvation. Very common in the world today to think like that, especially in relationship to the Jewish people. A lot of people say, well, the Jewish people already are, you know, the chosen people. They already have all that. They don't need anything. We don't need to reach out to them or to evangelize them in any way. They've got their own path, and they're on their own path to salvation already. Not true. That's not the biblical revelation, nor is that really the teaching of the church. There's a complex relationship the church has with the Jewish people that we're very sensitive toward, we're very clear about. I don't want to go into it all right here. I can do it at another time. But the bottom line is every Jewish person needs to come into the knowledge of their Messiah, the one Messiah of the people of Israel, Jesus. And what they need is not just the teaching of Jesus, but they need to be born again. Like Jesus said to the leaders of the time, the Jewish leaders of the time, Jesus himself said it, right? Nicodemus came at night, had a conversation with Jesus and said, you need to be born again by water and the Spirit. Well, wait a minute. Nicodemus was a righteous man. He was already part of the religious leadership of the people of Israel. But Jesus' diagnosis of his life was very clear. You need to be born again by water and the Spirit. And so here's Paul. Ananias is confidently praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which he himself experienced in his life, so he understood it. So he prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he baptized Saul. So then we go on. Paul stayed for a few days in Damascus, and this I love. He said he began at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. There's often a misunderstanding. Paul was clearly understood as the apostle to the Gentiles, and Peter's often referred to as the apostle to the people of Israel. But they both had a hand in reaching Gentiles and reaching Jews. And Paul in particular had a very strong hand in reaching the Gentile world. Paul was in a unique place and had this profound calling from the Lord. But what I love is that he immediately began to preach Jesus. He didn't have years and years and years of formation. He didn't walk with Jesus for 3 years. He just had a few days. And after a few days, because of the encounter, you might say because of the download that Jesus gave to Paul about who he was and the way the Spirit of God revealed Christ to Paul, he got it. And the Holy Spirit began to empower him and feed him. And his baptism was the grace of a new Pentecost. Paul was brought into the grace of Pentecost. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea and around the world. And Paul experienced it. And Paul went forth in the power of the Spirit, not just in his own zealous flesh, but enlightened now under the guidance and the power of the Spirit. And where did he go? To the synagogues. How about that? The leaders of the synagogues in Damascus must have been shocked. Paul probably still had in his pocket, you know, the letter that said he could and should bring these people back to Jerusalem before the Sanhedrin, before the leaders of Israel. The right he had to arrest them and drag them back to Jerusalem. But instead, he shows up in the synagogues and he starts preaching, what does it say? That Jesus is the Son of God. The very thing that caused the high priest to tear his garment, the accusation that Jesus was making himself equal to God, Paul is saying, indeed, that's exactly who Jesus is. He is equal to God, and I was wrong persecuting him. And then he opened up the mystery. He proclaimed the reality of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It said, all who heard him were astounded and said, is not this the man who in Jerusalem ravaged those who call upon his name? Paul grew stronger, all the stronger, it says. What a beautiful story. And I mentioned that I would say a little bit about Acts 26 as well. There's another account there, but this is an account right from the mouth of Paul himself, where he's talking to King Agrippa and some of the rulers who are also Jewish. And they wanted to hear him out. And Paul describes on the road to Damascus what he was going to do, and that the light in him, he went down. And the same thing, Jesus said, Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then Paul gets his mandate from the Lord. And Paul describes it this way. He said, Jesus said to him, arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and to bear witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those which I will appear to you. So the captain of the armies of heaven came and selected one of his generals, you might say, and gave him his assignment. He said, there's a purpose now in what I'm doing. I'm appointing you to something, to serve, to be a servant, and to bear witness, to be a servant of what you've seen, to be my servant, that is the Lord, and to bear witness to these things which I've shown you, and other things that I will show you, essentially, is what he's saying. And he will deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you. So Jesus is sending Paul to the Gentiles, and he's going to experience tremendous suffering, as Jesus talked about in Acts chapter 9. Paul went through it, and there's lists in Corinthians and other places where Paul describes the suffering he had to go through, the persecution, the rejection. He got the lash three different times, 40 lashes less once, so 39, three different occasions. And then he says this, I'm sending you to them to do what? To open their eyes. Remember what happened to Paul? Paul's eyes were opened. He understood what it means to have your eyes open. And it goes on to say, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's the beginning of conversion right there. This is a Christian understanding of what happens. The human eyes that are blinded by darkness were able to see, to turn from what? From darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. That's conversion. And then he goes on to say that they may what? Receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus told the apostles, and in the first appearance in Luke's gospel, you are my witnesses. You're going to take the forgiveness of sins to those I send you to, baptize them so they can move from darkness to light, they can come into the living light of God, have their sins forgiven, and be born again. Friends, that's what it means to become a Christian. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.